Good morning to you all. I'll just start my timer. That's always helpful for you. I've started my timer, then I know when to stop. There's a few things that I want to do this morning, but I just want to go back to that song we were singing. Your name is life. Your name is hope inside me. Your name is love, a love that always finds me. And that kind of ties up everything I'm going to talk about this morning, because I just think that is fantastic, that his name is life and a hope in us, and it's love that always finds us and always finds everybody, because Jesus died for the world. What we're going to be doing in Messy Church this afternoon, please pray for us, because it's Remembrance Sunday, so we have the rather marvellous Robin Vickers, who's going to be there, Colonel Robin Vickers, in his outfit, his uniform, and too much time with Santas and things like that, you know, in this church. Anything serious I can't quite cope with. And Robin's going to come, and Robin and I together are going to be taking the guys on a journey through Remembrance Sunday, through to laying down our lives for our friends, through to Jesus laid down his life for you. And that's quite a special connection for them to make. So would you just join with me now as I pray that actually there's a real revelation today of Jesus in their lives and their hearts. So, Father God, as church family, we want to come together and we want to release blessing over Messy Church this afternoon. Father God, thank you for everything everybody's put in to bring this together today, and it's going to be fantastic. And I just ask, Lord God, that we can release faithfully the message that you love every person there and that your son died for them. Father God, died for them to bring them life, hope, love, and a love that always finds them. So, Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to open their eyes, open their hearts, give us the words to say, and Holy Spirit, impact every person there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. I just felt it was really important to do that. Last week I spoke about hope, and I asked you to consider which of these... Look, you see, Andy, I forgot to ask you to fiddle with that. That's my laptop. Whether we were going to live by always hoping and never expecting, which is a pretty fair worldview, or whether we were going to live by always hoping and always expecting, because the biblical definition of hope is a confident expectation of good from our God. And I challenged us that actually that's what we as people live in. We were given new birth into a living hope that's a sure, confident expectation of good from our Father God. During the week, I received a testimony, which actually neatly illustrated all of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like you to welcome Ish. Come on up, Ish. And Ish has a fantastic story of hope to tell you.
Thank you so much, Kerry. I emailed Kerry during the week, and I said to Kerry that I wanted to really tell, tell this testimony to everybody over here, because God has been so good to me and my family as well. And it's worth glorifying his name this morning. So the story was about 21 months ago. My wife and I, Rebecca, we started trying for our second child. We've already got a daughter together, Charlotte, who's the apple of our eye. But for some unknown reason, baby number two were just not coming. And I fasted and prayed a lot. And I felt like my prayers weren't being answered and God wasn't listening to me at all. And, each and every month that passed by without any news, I felt so emotionally crushed inside. And I bet Rebecca was even feeling worse. And I kind of thought to myself, where is God? You know, where is he God in this situation? And, this whole thing remained a secret frustration of mine for a very, very long time. By the back of my mind, I kind of knew there was something missing. I didn't know what it was, but there was something missing. It felt like a missing puzzle. So in August this year, I decided to go back to basics and actually find God for myself in this situation. And I wanted to persevere and knock on his door so hard that he can't refuse to give me any answers. So I fully immersed myself in the Holy Spirit. I was listening to a lot of worship music. I was praying a lot. I was reading the Bible a lot and listening to different preachings on YouTube. And then just out of the blue, I stumbled across this series of Growing Faith on YouTube by an African pastor called Pastor Otabel. And after going through the series, I felt so inspired and I felt so encouraged about growing my faith in God. And, you know, the Bible describes faith in different forms. You know, some people have no faith at all. Others have little or weak faith. Others have strong faith and others have great faith. And, you know, sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves as well. I kind of did a personal reassessment and I felt like there were cracks in my faith and I didn't fully rely on God in certain situations in my life. And I also realized that in order for me to grow my faith, first of all, I have to trust God as my Lord and personal Savior and trust Him fully, not just 99%, but 100%. And secondly, I felt like I realized that I had to feed on my faith as well and also exercise my faith. And so I thought to myself, who in the Bible has such great faith in God that I can actually learn from? So I read the story about the centurion and in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 10. And in it, this man went up to Jesus and he said to Jesus that he's got a servant at home who is paralyzed and heavily tormented and he wanted Jesus to heal him. And Jesus said to him that, okay, I'll come to your house, look at your servant and I'll heal your servant. And this is what the guy said, this is what this man said to Jesus. He said to him that he doesn't deserve for Jesus to come under his roof, but he believes in Jesus speaking a word, just the word, and his servant will be healed. Because he was also a man under authority. And when he says to his soldiers to go somewhere, they go. And when he tells them to come, they come. And if he asks them to do something, they do that. And Jesus said to this man that, wow, I've never met a man with such great faith in the land of Israel. And I thought to myself, this story is so encouraging because this man's faith was even greater than some of Jesus' disciples. And it actually conveys as well, actually shows that ordinary people can have greater faith than the leaders of the church. And but yeah, I felt really encouraged by this parable. And I also read the story about Abraham and Sarah. Now, when God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, the Bible said that Abraham was fully convinced of God's word. Not just convinced, but fully convinced of his word. And, you know, we all know what happened after that. Isaac was born, and through him, many nations were born as well. And obviously the story about the lady who touched Jesus' robe, and Jesus told him that, by your faith, you have been healed. But I felt so encouraged by these parables and also other parables that I read as well, similar stories that I read in the Bible. So anyway, on the 28th of August, I finished work, went back home, having a nice, relaxed evening. And then God spoke to me. God said, this is the exact word that he said. He said, when you wake up the next morning, tell Rebecca that she's pregnant. Now, I kind of felt like this is definitely my opportunity to exercise my faith. Because after all, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And faith without works is dead. But at the back of my mind, I kind of knew that this is just not my voice. Because, you know, when we're trying for 21 months or 24 months and nothing comes, you know, nothing happens, you kind of feel like, you know, is your mind play tricks on you? But I was really convinced that it was God's word. It wasn't just voices in my head. And so I woke up the next morning feeling very inspired, fully convinced as well about God's words the night, you know, the day before. So I got up, went downstairs, and I spoke to Rebecca, and I said to her, how, you know, was she doing that morning? She said she was all right, but I could tell that she wasn't really in a good mood that morning. And I said this to her, straight to the point. I said to her to go and take a pregnancy test. And the weird thing is, I've never ever said this to her before, but I really wanted to exercise my faith. And she was a little bit hesitant at first, but she went upstairs in the end to take the test. And while she was upstairs, I kept on saying these words to myself, that God's promise is a yes and it's amen. God's promise is a yes and it's amen. And I was literally walking around the kitchen saying this like I've lost my mind. I really believed in what I said to her. I didn't know what the answer was going to be, but I really believed that I just had the faith that what he told me was going to be true. And lo and behold, a few minutes later, I had footsteps coming towards me. And at this moment, I'll be honest with you, my heart was beating fast, even faster than when I was in the battlefield of Afghanistan. But as soon as she came downstairs, I saw a big smile on her face and she showed me the pregnancy kit, and it read pregnant, you know. And And, you know, that morning, my faith grew a trillion folds, you know. And I thought to myself, how amazing is our God? How amazing is he? And this is what happens when we persevere in faith, you know. And I just want to say, you know, to you, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what you go through in life, I believe there's always hope. I believe there's always light at the end of the tunnel, because his promise is always a yes, and it's always amen. Thank you.
Isn't that amazing? I love that. Now Rebecca's been thoroughly exposed. And guys, we just really bless you. We really bless you. And we pray health for you over the pregnancy and real joy in your family. And I just think, thank you, Ish, for sharing that. That's just amazing, isn't it? And I know there are people here today who have circumstances in their lives that are really tough and they seem impossible. It seems like that, but you know what? We have the confident expectation of good in our God. So let's hold on to that. Let's make good declarations. Let's immerse ourselves. What were the keys for Ish? Immersing himself in the Word of God, spending time with God in his Word, getting his mind renewed, getting his faith built up. You know, we talked last week, didn't we, about feeding our hope, that hope we've born into is a living hope. Living things need feeding. So let's feed our hope and our faith, as is exactly what Ish did. So I just hope that really encourages you. And I just want to lead on from that into this. And I want to talk about this today, because actually those things are fantastic, but God just doesn't want them for us. He wants them for the world that he died for. So there's a whole community out there. We're touching Larchfield this afternoon, but there's a whole world out there that Jesus died for. And that hope we live in, that expectation of good, he wants that for every person on this world. He doesn't want us to struggle in pain and fear and lack of peace. So I want to move on from that into talking to you about sharing our faith. And just for us to get some keys from an incredible piece of research that's been done just in the last year, which gives a fascinating insight into some of these questions. What do people in this nation know and believe about Jesus? What do they really think of us, his followers? Are we talking about Jesus enough? And when we are we drawing people closer towards him or further away? And the answers to those kind of questions and this research give us hope, I think give us a lot of hope and confidence in sharing our faith. And when I came across this, Colin was talking about it at a Leaders' Day yesterday, and I've seen some other stuff about it. I was like, you know what, we need to take real courage as God's people from this research. But I want to start here with this verse that I love and that I keep inflicting upon you. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory, the confident expectation of good. This mystery of Christ embedded in us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. Just to get the point home, and God wants everyone to know it. And, you know, our vision in Maidenhead is giving everyone tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters with Jesus. Not just us here in this room on a Sunday morning, not just the people in Larchfield, but everyone in Maidenhead who we rub shoulders with on a daily basis. And we talked a little while ago about how we did that. Do you remember? You may not. The talk that I did on bringing life. When what we did was we profiled some of our community activities. We did Ladybirds and we did Messy Church. And what we saw was Jesus's message was that I have come that you might have life. And he spoke that to everyone. And we learned that evangelism is just about sharing the life that Jesus has put within us. Our lives are filled with Jesus. And as we grow that hope within us, our lives are filled with that. So that as we generously share our lives with people, we share his life. And we saw that our job as Christians, as God's people, is to live a generous, joy-filled life. and that we can then release that life wherever we go. And our responsibility is to nurture that life within us. And we saw that we have the most incredible God-given opportunity and even a responsibility to lead this town into that life. And that's amazing. And we can do that. And we do that by showing up and engaging with our community in our community projects. But as I said, whilst we love and we serve as Jesus did, Jesus also opened his mouth and spoke. And there are times when we need to do the same thing. And we need to share our faith. Now, let me tell you just a little story here. There's a family who go to Larchfield Open Table who we love. They've been going a long time. They've got involved with stuff we've done at the festival. And what we discovered was the lady's really quite interested in knowing more about Jesus. And she is now going to a sort of Exploring Jesus course in the Church of the Good Shepherd, who's one of our partners in Larchfield, which is absolutely fantastic news. Praise God. But do you know what I thought? Why isn't she coming to Alphen River? And do you know why not? Because none of us asked her. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, God's heart for that lady is so much that he's finding her, that love that always finds us. But the fact is, none of us thought to ask her. And I just stood there and thought, that's that thing, isn't it? Where we're loving and we're serving and we're blessing and we're wanting to care for people, but we don't actually speak the words sometimes that they need to hear. And that, I didn't either. Hey, put my hands up. I didn't either, and I know her. So that was just a real kind of, oh, to me, okay. There is another dimension to us sharing, bringing life, sharing who Jesus is, and that involves words sometimes. Opposite story, just want to honour Linda, who has taken a shed load of, well, at least five, Larchfield young people to the LZ7 concert and to Edge on Friday night, just because she stood up and opened her mouth and did it. And I thought, come on, come on. And I don't say any of those stories to condemn anybody. And loads of people at Open Table have been showing love and friendship, that those moments come where we need to talk. Now, but how do we talk to people about Jesus and what it's all about? On your chairs, there is one of these. And this is the report that came out of this research. And it went back to March of this year, where 40 key leaders gathered from churches, denominations, network. They gathered for 24 hours. They prayed, they fasted, they taught. They asked God, how can we as church reach our nation? And they commissioned this piece of research to ask all those questions. And what basically they understood was that it just needs loads more conversations with people about Jesus from people who know him. It's actually quite simple. The research showed, and you can take this home, you can read it. I'm not going to go through it in detail or you'll all be bored. I'm going to pull out some bits from it. But what the research showed basically was that more people simply need to know who Jesus is. More people need to get to know a Christian, and more people just need to have a positive conversation with a Christian. It really is really straightforward. And what I want to do now is show you a video clip to Andy, which just basically summarizes that booklet that you've got in your hands, and then I'm going to draw some points out. You're good, Andy.
What do people outside our churches know about Jesus? Have they ever had a conversation with a practicing Christian about Jesus? Answers to questions like these could really help us share the most amazing news, the love of God for all of us through Jesus. So we asked, and here's what people, your friends and neighbours, said. 57% said they're a Christian. 9% are active Christians. They regularly go to church, pray and read the Bible. Useful starting place. But what do they actually know about Jesus? 21% think he's God, while 30% think he's a spiritual leader or prophet. But only 60% think he was an actual, real, historical person. Our job here is clear. Let's make sure everyone gets to hear that Jesus actually lived and walked on earth and that he claimed he was God. How are we going to do this? Well, 67% said they know one of us, an active follower of Jesus. And we're most likely to be their family and friends. But have we ever spoken to them about Jesus? 58% of those who know us have had a conversation about Jesus with us. Now that's a great start. But what do they think about Jesus after that conversation? 1 in 5 are open to knowing and experiencing more about him. That's 1 in 5 of your friends and family members, the people you know really well, who are waiting for you to talk about Jesus with them. And we found out that talking to someone who knows Jesus was really important in helping 36% of us decide to follow Jesus for ourselves. So let's talk Jesus.
So what I just want to do is just pull out a few things there, because that was probably a blur of sort of facts and figures. But basically, that is really interesting stuff. And it is cause for great hope for us. And I just really urge you to take that booklet home and have a flick through it and let Holy Spirit encourage you. Because I was so encouraged. Because I have this view that sharing my faith is really hard. Nobody wants to know. Everybody hates me, particularly a Christian, and I can't ever dare speak about it. And actually, do you know what? It just isn't true. So I want you to be encouraged this morning that that isn't the case. And take this home and read it a little bit, flick through it, and let Holy Spirit encourage you with the contents of it. But you saw there the snapshot that although 57% of people in England say they're Christians, only 9% are practicing Christians. And actually 41% of practicing Christians attribute their faith to growing up in a Christian home. So there's quite a lot of people to reach who don't grow up in a Christian home, if only 9% are practicing Christians. So actually there's an idea of the scale of it. Our message needs to get out wide to people. But this is really good, guys. You need to be encouraged. What do people think about us Christians? Look at this. This is quite nice, this. People think we're friendly. We're caring. We're good-humoured. We're generous. We're encouraging. We're hopeful. After last week, there's more percent of hopefulness there in River Church people, I hope. But those are good things, aren't they? So we're not going into a place where people are thinking we really hate Christians. We have a good standing, which is great. And if you're interested in the negative things, there's not much of that. Very low percentage of people think Christians are narrow-minded, hypocritical, uptight, homophobic, foolish, selfish, unhappy, or invasive. So be encouraged. Very few people, when you talk to them about Jesus, are going to think you're awful. They're really, really not. Who is Jesus? I said a lot of people don't know who Jesus is. Those are the words that came to mind when the word Jesus Christ was mentioned. And basically the words most used to describe Jesus himself were spiritual, loving, peaceful. That's what people think about Jesus. That's quite nice, isn't it? But don't they need to know a few more things about him? That he was the Son of God, that he's died for them, that he's brought them hope, that he's released them from fear and sickness and death and pain. Don't they need to know that as well? Not just that he was kind of nice and floated. And 40% of people don't realize he was a real person, a real historical person. And there is so much historical evidence right outside of Christianity that Jesus was a real historical person. 1 in 4 18 to 34-year-olds thinks Jesus was a mythical or fictional character. So, and only 43% of people believe in the resurrection. So in our talking about Jesus, it's really important that we present him as this real historical person who lived and died and then explain what it was he did. But we need to be encouraged, because are we actually talking about Jesus? And 66% of practicing Christians have talked about Jesus to a non-Christian in the past month. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I asked myself, am I one of that 66 in the last month? Have I talked about Jesus to a non-Christian in the last month? I haven't. If I look back at the last month of October, it's interesting, isn't it, to ask ourselves that question. Have I actually made the effort rather than just rushed on through life and everything I'm doing? So I just encourage you to sort of step back and think about that every so often. 72% of Christians feel comfortable talking to non-Christians about Jesus. That's pretty good. 36% of practicing Christians, those are the people who've become Christians, say talking to a Christian about Jesus was important in their coming to faith. So it's important that we open our mouths and we talk. 44% of practicing Christians credit their friends for introducing them to Jesus. So big things are great and loads of people come to know Jesus that way, but our friendships are so important. So I really encourage us all, I'm talking to me as well, to be thinking about that in the friendships that we have and to take courage to share our faith. And actually, when we do talk about Jesus, what is the response, did this research show? That's quite small, but let me tell you, the response is 20% of people want to experience the love of Jesus for themselves. That's quite good, isn't it, to know? That's that one-fifth of those people who you talk to are really interested to know more and really want to know more. It might just take us to be a bit more courageous in pushing that through. 19% request prayer. 18% start looking into Christianity more broadly. 17% express an interest in going to church. Let's be courageous about inviting people to church. It's not in our kind of culture ever so easily, is it? But let's be courageous. We're working hard here to try and create an environment where people are comfortable to come to church. And, you know, odd things happen. We're all odd, really, a bit, aren't we? But let's let the warmth of family and friendship draws people in. So let's think about that kind of a thing. There's a really interesting, in the context of this, you know, you can think about it a bit like a tennis ball. So actually, you know, you just lob something into the conversation about Jesus or your walk with Jesus, and you just wait to see if they bat that ball back to you with a bit of interest about what you've said, or perhaps another question. And if they do, you can bat that back to them with perhaps a bit more information. And it's just that tentative, you know, I'll just throw this in, I'll see what the response is. If that comes back to me, okay, there's a bit of interest, I'll put something else back in. It's just that natural drawing people. The Father loves to draw people into his love. And basically, you know, we all have huge opportunities in our lives to draw people to Jesus, to share the hope that we have. And I hope as you read this, it gives you encouragement. It gave me encouragement about who we are, what we have to share, and the way that people respond towards that. And I just think sometimes we need to change our mindsets. So I went to Messy Church last month. And I was talking to a family there and a lady from the family who I know from all the Messy Churches I've been to. And she's saying, I love Messy Church so much. We organise our whole Sunday so that we can come. We absolutely love being here and having this conversation with her about how nice it all is. And off she goes. And I carried on and got home and thought, why didn't I say to her, come to River Church on a Sunday morning? But you know what? It didn't even occur to me because I was in that mindset of this is what just what I'm doing and what we're going on. So actually, guys, we just need to maybe even change our mindset. Let Holy Spirit drop things in so we can begin to draw people into the hope that we've heard about this morning, the life that we know we have, the love that God wants to impart into us. And I just want to end with the verse that I began with. Living within you is the Christ. Let's remember that. I go on about it a lot, but we need to get hold of that. Living within every one of us is the Christ. And what does he do? He floods us with the expectation of his glory, his goodness, his grace, his blessing, the confident expectation of good. And do you know what? That is a heavenly treasure chest of hope within us. How can we hold on to that and not share that? How can we shut the lid on our treasure chest and say, it's mine? Somebody shared their treasure with us. That's why we're here. Are we going to share our treasure with people around us? Because God wants everyone to know it. So that's where I'm going to leave it. And I just really want to encourage us all in this journey. It's a journey we're all on towards sharing Jesus with people, bringing people here on a Sunday morning so that they can hear about Jesus, just being good news to the people around us. And we can change this town, and we can give everyone in Maidenhead a tangible, relevant, life-changing encounter with Jesus. So, shall we pray? Father God, I want to thank you for your incredible generosity to us. That, Lord, there is nothing at all I could do to make myself good enough to know you and live in all that you give us. Absolutely nothing. I couldn't work enough, do enough good things, give enough. Lord God, to make myself good enough. But Jesus, you died for me and you opened the way. And Lord, that is the most amazing free gift. And not only did you open the way, you opened the way to all the riches of heaven, all the peace, all the joy, all the goodness, the confident expectation of hope that I and we can live in. And Father God, you live in us. How extraordinary. As if all of that wasn't enough, you then came and lived within each one of us. And you within us are a heavenly treasure chest of hope. And Father God, I pray over us that we will become a people of hope, a people who release hope and see hope at work in our own situations, just like we heard from Ish, and in the situations of people around us. In our community, we become people of hope. And God, you want everyone to know the truth of who you are. So God, give us opportunities, give us courage, give us the words to say, give us the bravery to take risks, Father God. Help us remember, thank you for this research that confirms such good things to us, Father God, and let us be courageous and let us draw all people to you. Because it is true, on a day like today, the message that you laid down your life for the entire world. People need to know that. In Jesus' name, amen.